Hello, my name is Rodney Barlow, and I'm going to share with you another teaching. This teaching is entitled The Holy Spirit. Now, go with me to Genesis chapter 1, and let's begin with verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Godhead Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much as God as God the Father and God the Son. Oftentimes people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it or something, but he's not an it and he's not a something totally, so to speak. The Holy Spirit is just as real as Christ. He speaks, he has a mind, and he has emotions. Now let's go. And let's look at in verses 2 and 3, you see here how the Holy Spirit, his role in creation, how the Holy Spirit took the word and manifested in the earth. So whatever God said, the Holy Spirit is the power source to bring it to pass. See, the Holy Spirit is in charge of the affairs of the earth. Now let's look at Judges chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, so you can see the presence of the Holy Spirit in someone else's life. In Judges 13, verses 24, we want to look at Samson. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanaim between Zoar and Eshtaol. So you see here how the Spirit or the Holy Spirit anointed Samson. Not only that, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. Talking about David, how God caused Samuel to anoint David, because David's going to be the next one to rule after King Saul. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. I'm reading this out of the New King James Version. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So we see here how the Spirit of God came upon David after he was anointed by Samuel. Now, the prophet in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 said this, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit." So that lets us know that we don't have to rely on our own strength and our own might and in our own power, but we can rely on the help of the Holy Spirit to help us get things accomplished in the earth. And then in Joel chapter 2, verse 15 through 28, a promise was given about the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon the people and of the church. Let's look at Joel chapter 2, but let's look at one particular verse, which is verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servant," verse 29, "and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." So we see here how he prophesied about the Spirit of God coming into the church. Now, there are several names that the Holy Spirit referred to in the New Testament. He is referred to as the Spirit of God according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. And he's also referred to as the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14, verse 17. I want to draw your attention there. Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 17. We talked about the Holy Spirit and the different names he is referred to. In John 14, verse 17, it says this, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they see him not, neither know him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now he's called here the Spirit of truth. And also in John 15, verse 26, you see there that he is called the Spirit of truth. He also called the Comforter. Let's look at verse 26 of John 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you." So we see here the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and guess what? He's the teacher. And he can bring all things back what, guess what? What God has taught you through the Word, through a preaching, teaching meeting, or through something that you study. He wants to bring all things back to your members to help you out. But not only that, let's look at that particular verse out of the Amplified Bible. It says this, but the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby. These are all these titles that the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life whenever you need Him to be these things. Whom the Father will send in my name and my place to represent me and act on my behalf. See, the Holy Spirit come in the earth to represent Christ, to act on His behalf when Christ went back to heaven. He will teach you all things, and He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your members everything I have told you. I don't know about you, but that's good news. So we see here the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter in John 14 and 16, in John 14 verse 26, in John 15 verse 26, and also in John 16 and 7. Now, not only is he called the Comforter, but he's called the Spirit of your Father. The main two scriptures, let me say this, the main two scriptures about the Comforter, I want you to remember is John 14, 16, and John 14 and 26. Now, he also is referred to as the Spirit of your Father in Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he's referred to as the promise of the Father. But let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And also in Luke 24, he's also referred to as the power from on high. But let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He's referred to as the power. Acts chapter 1 and 8 says this. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see here, the Holy Spirit come, and he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you to be a witness. So not only come to teach you and bring all things back to your remembrance, but he also wants you to be a witness to share the love of Christ with others. Now, let's look at some other instances in the New Testament where you see the Holy Spirit's presence upon different people's lives. We saw it in how he came upon Samson, and we saw it how he came upon David. Now let's look at when John, before John the Baptist was even born, how the Holy Spirit came in his mother's womb and filled him. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That lets me know that parents, you can release your faith that your baby can be filled in your womb. Not only that, let's look at Matthew chapter 3 and let's look at different instances and relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, this one talks about when Jesus was baptized. And he's our example. Since Jesus got baptized, water baptism, we should be also, when you get born again, you should be water baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. That Spirit of God refers to the Holy Spirit. Now let's see how the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how let's see, we'll see how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all working together in one particular scripture. In Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed, talking about God the Father, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice that Jesus had to be anointed. If Jesus had to be anointed, that lets us know that you and I need to be anointed. But not only that, but when he was anointed, he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So when you're anointed, you should go about doing good and mention the people who have been attacked or harassed or oppressed by the enemy. Now, so you're anointed to be a blessing to others. Not only that, but let's look at how the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want you to know that you too can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and guess what? The Spirit of God can come upon you, and the Spirit can give you utterance. So you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and as you relax and surrender your vocal cords to God and just receive Him, you can too have that same experience as the early church did. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44, and see another account how some other people got filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you see here, the Holy Spirit is a gift to be received. Then let's keep on reading. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So now you can get to receive the gift, speak with tongues, and magnify God with your heavenly language. So, now let's go to another experience. Let's go to Acts chapter 19. I want to show you these things because I want you, if you have not received them yet, I want you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Acts chapter 19, let's look at verse 4. Now, I tell you what, let's take it from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Perhaps maybe before you got born again, maybe perhaps before you came to church, you didn't hear about the Holy Ghost. But because you have a heart for God and you desire for truth, and if you're like me, if I sit in the Bible and that's a promise that God wants me to have, I'm going to receive it. So they said, hey, we didn't hear about the Holy Ghost, but they was open to receive everything what God had for them. Let's keep on going. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John, baptism. Then said Paul, John really baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So you see here, you can get the Holy Spirit when somebody laid their hands on you. But not only that, but guess what? In the other verse of Scripture, they magnify God. Here we see here, they begin to prophesy. So as soon as you're born again, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and also prophesy. What is prophecy? It has to do with edification, building up, and comfort. Now, so you see here, there's different experiences where people has had the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, the question may be, well, who can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, once you get born again, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to write the scripture down. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 3, verse 3 and 6. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. And Acts chapter 8, verse 12 through 17. I want to encourage you to read all those scriptures, but we just want to look at two of them. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 2. Excuse me, verse 12. And it says this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So we see here, once you're born again, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, who is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit? We may mention earlier, but we want you to know for sure. God the Father is the source. Now there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit? Well, God the Father is the source. Now, but Jesus is the baptizer. Are you with me? God is the source, but Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So man's not the baptizer. We're just instruments used by God to help you, but Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, and let's look at verse 11. For I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is not mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then also, let's look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If you then, been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the earth? So you see here different accounts of the Holy Spirit and people receive the Holy Ghost. Now we know that, guess what, Jesus the baptizer. Well, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the earth? But there's several things. We're not going to read all the scriptures, but I want you to take the time in your study to go back and search the scriptures and read them so you can really get a grasp, a good understanding about the role of the Holy Spirit in the earth. Now, in John 14, verse 17, we did read the scripture earlier, He comes to dwell in us. In John 14, verse 26, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as a teacher and also as a comforter. In John 15, verse 26, He bear witness of the truth. In John 16, verse 8, He comes to convict of sin. In John 16, verse 13, let's go there, He comes to guide us to all truth. In John 16, verse 13. Again, I want you to take your time to go back and read all these scriptures. Howbeit, this is one of my favorite scriptures here. I want to encourage you to memorize and meditate on this one. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, natural truth, spiritual truth, all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So you can talk to God about any situation, a job situation, a family situation, your child situation. You can talk to the Spirit of God. He will guide you to all truth, what to do, how to handle the situation, and get this. And also it says He will show you things to come. So you can ask Holy Spirit, show me things to come concerning this situation, concerning this matter, and He can show you beforehand. Why? Because that's one of the benefits when you're born again and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, it goes beyond the speaking in tongues, but it goes on having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then He can help you in so many different facets when you allow Him to. Now, and only that, but He comes to empower the believer, which we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And now, He's also seven dimensional. Now, that is in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. And you see the different spirits of God working that the Holy Spirit have, that He manifests Himself through. Now, let's also talk about the benefits of receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, why should I receive the Holy Spirit? I gave you through teaching, but let's specifically share with you about five benefits of receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, we also know, number one, to be effective witness in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, that you can be a witness. So we know that He wants you to be an effective witness, not just a witness, but an effective witness. One that not only share their faith, but be able to win souls. Not only that, but let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Benefit that help you have a perfect prayer when you do not know what to pray. When you don't know what to pray or how to formulate a prayer, you can pray in the Holy Spirit and pray as the scriptures make a reference as a perfect prayer. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Many times you might come up against a situation in your home or in life, and you don't know how to pray for that loved one. But guess what? You can pray in your heavenly language. And guess what? The Holy Spirit working with you, you praying the exact perfect prayer, what needs to be prayed. And why? Because the Bible lets us know when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. You can pray the Holy Spirit. When he searched the matter, he searched the heart, know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession. So the Holy Spirit want to make intercession through you for your loved ones. Now, not only that, because that's the benefit, but in that same verse, it says this, to help with your infirmities. That let us know we have some infirmities, but guess what? We don't have to feel helpless. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to help us with our infirmities. So you're going to be like, oh God, I feel so weak, I don't know what to do. You can have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, and he comes to help you. That's why he's called the Comforter, the Helper, the Standby, the Advocate, the Strengthener. Now, not only that, so we see here a benefit one, to help you be an effective witness. Another benefit, to help you have that perfect prayer when you don't know how to pray. We said to help you with your infirmities. Also, we also read in John 16, verse 13, to guide you into all truth. And another benefit here, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 4, to help you build yourself up daily. You can pray in the Holy Ghost and get built up every day of your life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edify himself, but he that prophesieth edify the church. So you see here, you can build yourself up every day by praying in your heavenly language. Now let's go to Jude. Now Jude is the book right before Revelation. I want to read a verse of scripture out there in that particular chapter, the only one chapter, verse 20. And it says this. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So perhaps, you know, you maybe had heard a good word on Sunday, or you came back to Bible study during the week, but maybe something happened between Wednesday and Saturday. And guess what? You don't have to wait till Sunday to get built up. You can go to the Word of God, and then you can pray your heavenly language and get built up. I want to encourage you every day. Pray in your heavenly language. Pray as often as you can and build yourself up spiritually, and you'll see what a difference that'll make in your natural life. Now, before we close, I want to give you also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it talks about another reason why the Holy Spirit is given to profit the church, to profit the body, to profit others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So there is a manifestation of the Spirit that is given to profit other people. So when you got born again, and then when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, there are some gifts of the Spirit that God put inside of you to be a blessing to other people. Now, what are these gifts of the Spirit? Well, I just want to mention these gifts. At another teaching, we'll talk about them, but I want to mention these gifts. So perhaps maybe when you see these gifts demonstrated in the local church, or you may be in a meeting, you can be familiar with these gifts. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, you see the list of these gifts. There are the word of wisdom in verse 8, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. See, now these are the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, how should these gifts should be administered? These gifts should be administered in love. So now there are the gifts of the Spirit, and guess what? There also are the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us are familiar with the fruit, but not the gifts. But God wants you and I as believers to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and also operate and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So he wants to be loving, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we see here there is the fruit of the Spirit. Now we talked about receiving the Holy Spirit, and we showed you accounts how you can receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I wanted to kind of make sure you know how to receive the Holy Spirit. So I want to close out by giving you some pointers to help you. Number one, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Once you get born again, you have to become like a little child. A little child, I mean, they just take that word and they just take every word, especially the love, and believe it. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew 18, verse 3, that oftentimes we got to become like a little child. Number two, you got to have faith in God. The only way you can please God is by faith. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, how, guess what, Jesus told them before he left, go to the upper room. They had faith in God. They didn't know how the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them, but they prayed and they received the Holy Spirit and they spoke with tongues. And we read those scriptures to you. And then, I want you to not only have faith in God, but let your faith stand in the power of God. When we pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit, believe God that your faith stand in the Word of God and the power of God, and you're going to receive that gift. Number four, relax and surrender every bit of yourself to God, especially your mind. Sometimes your mind try to start going up. Well, what's going to happen? What's going to take place when I receive? Relax. Surrender yourself. Sometimes people receive the Holy Spirit based on a laying on of hands. Sometimes that helps, but not always necessary. When I received the Holy Spirit, nobody laid their hands on me. I was in a meeting, a preacher was preaching, and when he closed the meeting, he asked for those who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost to stand up. Well, at that time, my faith was not strong enough to stand up because I thought perhaps, how about if I don't receive the Holy Spirit, then people might ask me. But guess what? I did what he said to do, and right there sitting down, I received the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke chapter 11, we already read to you that if we ask the Father, he would give you the Holy Spirit. So what I want you to do, relax, surrender. And let's believe God that you can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you just speak forth or sing with sounds that may be entirely strange to you. You make the sounds and you make the words by moving your lips and surrendering your vocal cords. But what is in the sounds come forth as a language of the Holy Spirit. So you can praise God and you can magnify God and just enjoy a new, greater relationship with the Holy Ghost. And guess what? I want to pray right now for you that you receive the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this teaching. We thank you, Lord God, that your precious people know more about you. And perhaps those that have not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I pray right now, as I pray for them, that Jesus, that you have baptized them with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they will enjoy a greater relationship with you and with the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. But before we close out, I want to encourage you to memorize and meditate on Romans 8:26 and John 16 and verse 13. Until then, keep walking by faith.